Well, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119. The primitives, those of you that like the primitive quartet, good bluegrass, great guys. They've been here before. They're going to be in Yorkville at the Yorkville Community Center there in Yorkville, Tennessee. I think they're having a supper at 5 and then singing at 6. And so if you enjoy that, Saturday night, that's where they're going to be, right here locally. And so Psalm 119, and I'm still looking for it. Here we go. Psalm 119. Now, last week, I wasn't here, but I tell you, somebody told me that y'all had a time out of this world, and so we won't be calling on him no time soon. Boy. And had a lot of comments on that. I said, well, what was it about? They said, boy, you need to watch it. I said, well, what was it about? Oh, it was good. You need to watch it. I said, well, what was it about? They said, well, it was about sin. I said, I ain't watching that. Psalm 119, and we are down to about verse 65, and let's read verse 65. I feel like I repeat myself a whole lot, but Psalm 119 is 176 verses. It's 22 sections of 8 verses each. And so you'll see, I've got an old Scofield reference Bible, and each one of these sections is sort of sectioned off, and all of them start with one of the Hebrew letters of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. And so verse 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. We thank you for these who have gathered. Some are out of town, some traveling, some vacationing, some watching on the internet. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Get something from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Here, each one of these sections has dealt with, all of it deals with the Bible, the word of God. You'll notice in Psalm 119, it'll say, his testimonies, thy statutes, thy precepts. All of those different words deal with the word of God, thy commandments and things of that nature. And so here in this section, we're going to see the blessings of the word of God. We've seen in times past, we've seen how the psalmist has urged us to be true to the Bible, how to be happy in the word, how to value the word of God, how to build our hope upon the word of God, how to have a relationship with the word of God as if it's a person. Have a relationship with the Bible as if it's a person. And then tonight I want to look at the blessings of the word. And so look here in verse number 65. You'll see the psalmist's appreciation of the Lord. He is appreciating, or he appreciates the Lord in verse 65. He says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. The psalmist David, everything hasn't been a bed of roses for David. There's been some ups and some downs. Everything hasn't been sugar and honey for the psalmist David. But one thing David has learned in these next 8 verses is to leave the outcome to God. And everything's going to be all right. Leave the outcome to God. God is going to do a work on me. He's still working on me. He was still working on David. And he's probably, my guess is, he's still working on you. Because I don't know anybody that has arrived. And so if you have not arrived, and you are not reached perfection, and you have not reached total maturity, then probably God is still dealing with you as he was dealing with David. And David says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. In other words, he was saying, you've dealt graciously with thy servant, O Lord, and everything you've dealt with me about has been according to the book, the Bible. We all know Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And the best illustration I got on that is when a person makes something in the kitchen and it makes a chocolate pie, sometimes those ingredients, if they're tasted separately, if you taste some of those things separately, the flour and some of the things that you put in those, the ingredients, if you tasted those things separately, you would taste that and say, oh, that's awful. But if you let God work those things together for good, when that thing comes out of the oven, it may be hot. It may have come out of the oven. It may have had some trials and some testings on it. But when you stick your fork in it, hallelujah, I'm getting blessed right now. When you stick your fork in it, you can put it in your mouth and say, all things have worked together for good. And that's what God's doing. Psalmist appreciates the Lord. And he gives, Joseph. Joseph, the coat of many colors. I love that story. I love preaching about that story. But Joseph said this to his brothers. He says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, and it is this day to save much people alive. So the devil and your foes and your enemies may mean it to you for evil, but God meant it for good. And so you'll see the appreciation of the Lord. Number two, in verse 66, you'll see the request of the Lord. Notice what he says. Not only he says, Lord, I appreciate you, but I want you to teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I have believed thy commandments. He says, Lord, teach me good judgment. You know what a lot of Christians need? They need good judgment and good knowledge. You can know a lot about the Bible. You can know the Bible. You can know how to rightly divide the Bible. But listen, folks, you need some knowledge and some wisdom and some understanding of how to apply that. There are certain times. Listen, there are certain times and places where you take the Bible and you would, listen, you need some discernment. You wouldn't get behind the pulpit and talk about things that you wouldn't talk about in mixed company. I mean, you need some discernment. And sometimes preachers and teachers, they lack that discernment of how to get the knowledge and the wisdom over to the congregation. But this is the request of the psalmist David. He says, here's my request. Teach me good knowledge, good judgment. Listen, if you want to know good knowledge, good judgment, I did it this morning. I try my best to do it every morning. I'm not going to sit up here and play like sometime I get busy. But I read a proverb a day. This morning, what is today? The third, I read Proverbs chapter 3. Yesterday I read Proverbs chapter 2. Day before that I read Proverbs chapter 1. Proverb a day will keep the devil away. And you better eat your, everybody says, better eat your Wheaties. You better eat your Proverbs. Every morning, 31 Proverbs. And so most of the time there's 31 days. If there's not, you double up on the last day and you read 30 and 31 and you read the Proverbs. You'll read Proverbs 12 times a year. And that's where you get your wisdom. That's where you get your judgment and your understanding. And this is what the psalmist David is asking for. The character of the teacher adds strength to the instruction he is teaching. You're not going to go to Bill Clinton for leadership in moral matters. He may be good at some other things, but in moral matters, you wouldn't want to go to him because his character has been flawed in that area. But this Bible, we can trust this Bible. Psalmist David says, I'm trusting this Bible. This Bible has good character. I can trust this Bible. And so I'm asking you to teach me good judgment and good knowledge. You've got a decision to make on your hands. It may concern your business. It may concern your home. What's the right thing to do? What's the wrong thing to do? Well, I tell you what you better do. You better pray and ask God, teach me good judgment and knowledge. And then quietly read the scripture, pray, seek the face of God, and till the answer comes. That's where you get your answer. If you trust that Bible, and that Bible has not lost its character and has not done anything wrong, so you read that Bible, and I'm telling you, the answer for what you're looking for is in that Bible. You're deciding what to do. What's the will of the Lord for me and my family and the will of the Lord for my life? You pray, God, teach me thy judgment. Teach me thy statute. Teach me good discernment. Teach me good wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, I'm fixing to read this Bible. And you start reading that Bible, you'd be surprised. There will be a story that comes out. There will be a something that sticks out that will give you the answer you've been looking for. Right here in 2015, there's an application there. He wanted to be sure that this was applied to his life. Now, you've seen the appreciation of the Lord, the request of the Lord. Now we got to get down to verse 67 and 68. Now, right here, thank you, Brother Glenn. The psalmist acknowledgement of his straying. Now, I think we all, like sheep, have gone astray at some point in time. I only heard like three amens or three grunts. But the psalmist David said this, 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Now you have an acknowledgement. Hey, let me give you three things real quick right here. First, there's a confession. You know what the confession was? I went astray. There's a confession. To stray is a natural, and natural to the sinner, like sheep go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You must confess, I went astray. There's confession, but then there's correction. Oh, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, listen, as long as he was left to himself, he did as he pleased. And that's why we get our teenagers, we get them a chaperone. They need a chaperone. If you leave them to themselves, they're going to do as they please and they're going to go astray. You say, I trust my teenager. I don't trust none of them. I don't trust mine. I don't trust yours. They need a chaperone. Hallelujah. I just felt a little kink right here, but they need a chaperone. You leave them alone. Oh, I trust them. You better not trust them. Hallelujah. My daddy didn't trust me. I was a preacher's kid. Where you at? When you going to be home? What time? Where you going to be? Call me when you get there. Do not call me and say you had a flat on the interstate and you're going to be 30 minutes late. Do not do that. Because I'm coming to find out. Correction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Notice, he went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. So I went astray first, and then I got afflicted. The reason God sent affliction was to get me back in the fence. Hallelujah. God chastens his children. And he chastens whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And it would be you would be a sorry parent if you never chastened your child. Amen. Say, preacher, you're judging. Man, I've been judging all the last 2 days. I have. You say, you're not judge. Well, don't get in front of me when you get up to that red light right there. What bothers me and one of my pet peeves in this whole world, y'all done got me on my pet peeve? Well, one of my pet peeves is somebody trying to play doctor and tell you what's wrong with you when they ain't never been to medical school. Number two is somebody that thinks they know one verse in the Bible and tries to tell me what the whole Bible says by just telling me one verse. Judge not, lest you be judged. Well, just come a little closer and let me punch you right in the face. Hallelujah. Judge not, lest you be judged. What that means is, I'm under conviction. That means I'm under conviction, and you're shining light on my sin, and I want you to be quiet about it. But I ain't being quiet. Sin that used to walk down the back alley is now going down Main Street. And now the media is patting them on the back when they don't know what they want to be, don't know what they are.
Right. Right.
And now they're saying, God made a mistake when he made me, so I'm going to go change and be something else. I got news for you. You can only be what God made you to be. And if you want to be something else, and if God made you a man and you want to put a dress on, there's more wrong upstairs than meets the eye. Hallelujah. There needs to be some confession. There needs to be some correction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then there's consecration. Look at here. There's consecration. But now that the Lord has put a whooping on me, now have I kept thy word. Lord, I promise. Have you ever got a whooping from your mom and daddy? Oh, I promise. I ain't never do that again. I was afflicted. But now, after that whooping, man, I'm staying in the Bible. That's what the psalmist David says. You say, preacher, why does the Lord allow people to suffer? Well, there's all kinds of different ways God allows people to suffer and brings affliction on their life. He might be trying to bring somebody to the Lord. I wonder if that leper would have ever come to the Lord if he wouldn't have leprosy. I wonder if the blind Bartimaeus would have ever sought the Lord if he wouldn't have been blind. I wonder how many people would have come. When Jesus healed Lazarus, raised him from the dead, he said, he's not sick. His sickness is going to bring glory and honor unto God. And when he raised him from the dead, the Bible says in John 11 and John 12, it says many of the people came and believed on him. The reason he was sick, the reason he died, was to bring somebody to Jesus. That could be one of them. Another one is some Christians suffer because of the chastisement of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Sometimes that happens. The Bible says, Paul told us, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Sometimes the Lord allows suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Over there in Acts chapter number 5, it says this. The apostle said, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? A lot of people suffer for a lot of different reasons. And the Apostle Paul, he was one of the greatest Christians ever lived. After he got saved, he didn't live in sin. He didn't lack faith in God. But God allowed him to suffer. You know why he allowed him to suffer? And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He gave Paul a thorn in the flesh. Why? So he wouldn't be exalted above measure. Sometimes he'll bring affliction on you just to bring you down a notch or two.
Amen. Woo.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Sometimes it's for chastisement. Sometimes it's trying to bring somebody else to the Lord. Sometimes you may be going through something is because you somebody else later on down the road is going to need somebody to talk to that's already been down that road. One thing about being a young preacher, 42 years old, which that's, you know, I was a whole lot younger 20 years ago. But now when you pastor, I haven't experienced some of the things you've experienced. I haven't lost a child. I haven't done some of those things. And when that happens in our congregation, this is what I do. I'm looking for somebody that's already been there and said, hey, you need to talk to, let me get you hooked up with so-and-so. They've been down that way before. They made it through. They come out on the other side. So he may be putting you through something, and so you'll be able to help somebody else later on down the road. That's why the psalmist said, when I went astray, or before I was afflicted, I went astray. And then look at the psalmist's praise to the Lord. Verse 68. Look what he says. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. When's the last time you told the Lord how good he was to you? Amen. When's the last time we just took a minute and said, hey, how good God is? God's been good in my life. In my family. We were talking about singing that song. Boy, it just hit me. I don't know where it come from. It just hit me. Thank the Lord for his blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. A good place to sleep. Food on the table. And shoes on my feet. Son, I'm telling you, sometimes we take that stuff for granted. And just anyway, but let me move on. The psalmist testing by his enemies. Now watch this one, verse 69. Watch this. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, you'll never know how good your Christian life is, how strong your Christian life is until it's tested. You'll never know how strong your marriage is until it's been tested. You'll never know how strong our church is until it's been tested. Amen. Inspected. What was that? I forgot what it was. Some kind of commercial. Inspected by Inspector 12. Anybody remember that? Anyway. But nothing is harder to accept than to have your character smeared by a deliberate lie. Of course, you know, sometimes that happens, you know. Sometimes it's because of envy. Because of, I had a fella, well, I ain't going to tell you that. But I had somebody tell me one time, says, or they said, Brother Jeremy, is Tracy your first wife? I said, yeah. I ain't doing it again. They said, well, they told me that's no way. There's no way that she's had three kids. That must be your second wife. You must have had them other kids, them kids by another wife. I said, well, I was there. I may have been passed out, but I was there. I said, well, I just don't know where I heard that from. I tell you, I just heard it. I said, well, hey, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. There's plenty of people willing to do the dirty work for the devil. And the psalmist said, somebody forged a lie against me. And you know what it done? The psalmist David's talking. He says, somebody forged a lie against me. And you know what it caused me to do? It caused me to cling closer to the Bible. That's what the psalmist David says. He says, when they bring those kind of accusations, I get closer to the Bible. They bring that to me. Hey, and you know, somebody told me one time, said, you have to live your life. But I'm telling you, this sunk in with me, and I hope I can get it right because it was a good phrase. Said, you got to live your life in such a way that when somebody hears something about you that's a lie, they won't believe it. You heard something, you go, well, I figured that. Or the response could be, when they hear that, there ain't no way. Now, which one you want? You better live your life to where, amen. Then he said in verse 70, he said, their heart, you know, these people that forged a lie on you, I love this. Now see, everybody's like, well, you're supposed to be kind and nice and be loving like the Lord. Well, read what the Lord said about the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees sometime. Yeah. See what all he called them. He wasn't nice. But David, boy, I love this. This is what he said. He's talking about the people that forged a lie against him in verse 70. He said their heart is as fat as grease. I love it. So they're just grease fat. It's something repulsive. It means that the flesh has been let to run wild. The psalmist is describing his enemies as having fat hearts. Fat with grease suggests a life totally given over to the flesh. His enemies had indulged their lust and lies and had become vile. But it caused David to indulge himself in God's word. And the psalmist refused to be like them, and he found God's word to be the best protection against that kind of life. Amen. And then let me hurry, but verse 71, he said, it is good for me. Now to get this, hey, we need to memorize this verse. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. David said, it was good for me. It was good for me. David, what are you saying? It was good for you to be afflicted? He said, it was good for me to be afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. He said, it was good. David, are you really meaning what I'm thinking you're meaning? Yeah. He says, the affliction that drives in, listen, get this. Any affliction that drives you to the Bible and to your knees is worthwhile. Sometimes when the Lord hadn't heard from us in a while, been a while since we prayed or read our Bible, the Lord will just say, all right. And I'm talking about the next morning. Oh, dear God, hallelujah. Lord, I please, would you look this direction? The Lord's like, well, I've been wanting to hear from you. Yeah, David says, it was good. It was good that I was afflicted. Because through that affliction, I learned, hey, I hate to do this. My dad will kill me by giving you this little preview. But you ever thought about Job? Y'all going to be looking at him here for long. And in Sunday school, Job, you talking about affliction. Well, Job had just a little bit of a self problem. You know, I got all of this, I got this, I got this and this and this. And after he was afflicted, you read the last part of the book of Job says, I abhor myself.
through that affliction, Job decreased and God increased. We're up here. We're increased. And God has decreased. And God says, let me see if I can reverse these scales. Amen. He'll bring affliction. Yeah. 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 You ever wonder about that? You ever wondered about everybody when they was doing real good in the stock market? Everybody was doing real good. Stock market was up. Everybody's pleased. Man, they're missing church and they're just basking in all of the funds that are coming in on a weekly basis. God says, well, let me see if I can do something about that. And then we get the next president we got. And there's probably been people praying that hadn't prayed since two presidents ago. And now, hey, let me just say this, about the president. Hey, we got what we wanted.
That's right.
We got exactly what we wanted. America got exactly what we wanted. The nation of Israel, God says, I'm your king. The nation of Israel says, we don't want you.
What?
We want our own.
What?
God says, all right, I'll get you one. No. We want Saul. He's our pick. God's like, okay, I'll give you what you want, but you're fixing to lose what you had. And God gave lenience to their soul, and he gave them what they wanted, and they lost what they had. And then after the whole thing was all said and done with, they were crying out to God. And up come David. You'd be surprised. You say, why is affliction coming my way? Well, hey, just check it out. Say, well, are you saying that every time affliction comes, I'm in the wrong? No, not always in the wrong. No. Could be affliction of correction. It could be an affliction of correction, trying to make you better. Those drill sergeants, how many of y'all been in the military? Did they make y'all do stuff you didn't want to do? Did they bring affliction on you? You know what it was for? To make you tougher. And I'm seeing a lot today that we got a bunch of sissy Christians. Sissies. Don't darken the door of a church and then tell me I'm judging. Oh, I'm a Christian too. No, you're not. You might be saved on your way to heaven, but you ain't Christ-like. Hallelujah. Well, I'm still a little upset about all that. But God will bring affliction. Sometimes he'll do stuff like that to bring what's on the inside to the surface. And it'll sure do it. What's down in the well will come up in the bucket. And what it'll do, that gold and silver, they'll put that through the fire, and that dross will come to the top. All the impurities will come to the top. They'll knock all that off. Your gold, sometimes 10 carat, sometimes 14 carat, whatever. All depends on how many impurities they got off of it, how pure it is. Hey, how pure you want to be? God says, all right. I want to conform you to the image of his dear son. Well, we might have to endure some affliction. Don't pray for patience. Well, you wished you hadn't. Whatever you do, don't pray for patience. My, I did that once. Not going to do that again. That's when I lost all my hair. Hallelujah. The psalmist David said, it was good for me. I was afflicted. Did y'all know J. Vernon McGee? I'm done. J. Vernon McGee wrote through the Bible commentaries. I've got a set of them back there. Somebody bought them for me. And whether it doesn't make any difference. I'm not talking about what's in them or the content, but that's what I'm saying. He wrote those after he found out he had cancer. He wrote the first one, Genesis. He hadn't died yet, so he said, all right, I'm going to start on Exodus. He thought he'd be dead. He started on Leviticus. And this is what he said when he got through the whole commentary. He said, God blessed me with cancer. I'd have never got in that book like I did without cancer. That's what the psalmist David says. He said he brought affliction. I ran to that book. Sometimes that's what God's wanting us to do, is run to that book. The Word of God, Psalm 119. Amen.
All right.
Well, that was a good lesson, wasn't it, boy?